Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is Ralph Cormorant Winterroad. I'm in the world in Alaska with just a wee bit of snow left after about a 4 or 5 inch snow warmed up. But we're getting close to it's going to be white until April. But that's what Alaska's all about. Of course, I'm next to Anchorage, so we have the we don't get the weather when you go over the mountains like Eureka. Or when I worked up there, I worked up there in the 80s. In one winter, we had 60 below or better for 47 straight days. Now, that's cold weather. You've never been in it. You can take a pan of water and throw it in the air, and it'll all be ice. It takes clothes, but if you get used to it and you got the clothes, it's no big deal. I've worked Prudhoe Bay all up and down from Valdez to Prudhoe Bay in the pipeline for 5 years. I was their lead tech, lead top troubleshooter. Those were the days. God, I made $85,000 in 1985. That was a lot of moolah back in those days. So, anyway, here I am on the other end of the scale, but that's fine. I got my health, getting more knowledge every day, and I just got in. I was working on this one line I'm trying to get done for the test for all federal agencies. And I really mind the Federal Register and I'd forgotten about the Administrative Procedures Act. I hadn't forgot about it, but I forgot about what's in it. I mean, I know about the subsidy regs and all that. But I found it mirrors the same thing in Section 3. If thou art a federal agency, any documents you're doing, you better put them in the Federal Register. And if they're not there, you can flip the bird. Give them the finger because they have no application to you or me. And they also mirror the impractical, unnecessary, and not in the public interest, in the Federal Register words. I didn't remember that because I'm doing the other second page for the APA. And in the middle of this, I was into Westlaw, doing some word searches, which I do. I read all kinds of stuff. That's, you get a little here, a little there, and pretty soon you figure out what the lingo is that they're hiding it under, and then you get to what you want. I stumbled across something, and it was called a Senate document that they use is called legislative history. And I thought, well, that's strange, because I have looked at all of the legislative history of the Administrative Procedures Act, all the Senate reports and all that. This is called a Senate document number 248, 79th Congress, second session, 1946. And when I stumbled across it, I got it done because we have now filed in a petition for rehearing in the Supreme Court, which you can read if they get it published. It's there. Don't know what they'll do. The strategy is to leave out that the courts are, there's no constitutional courts. But they don't want to hear the same thing over. And, of course, the Supreme Court's never going to rule that all of our lower federal courts are all a smoke and mirrors under the plenary power of Congress, legislative courts, which I got court cases on at the end of the Mooney case. I didn't find it before then, because these guys are really good at taking what you would search on and deviating from it, calling it something else. They walk around it, but you just got to be persistent. But anyway, I came across this thing called Senate Document Number 248. And it's called, they call it a document instead of report. And what I found out, it's not in Westlaw. And so I got on with Westlaw, a technical support. Not technical, but their reference report, it helped. And her and I both found where there was a reprint of it, of one of these legislative histories in it. So, I mean, I already have that. But I said, why would you not have, because it's part of the legislative history of the Administrative Procedures Act. And I saw where it was several, at least 300 pages long. Well, it turns out it is actually 458 pages long. So I just said, well, I'll try to, I have a way to get in through Hines Online. I called them up. They have it. They wanted $695 for a whole year. Well, I said, well, we're not doing that. Can't afford that. I have a way to get stuff from Hines Online that I've used to get the congressional records from about 1900 to 1946, many, many thousands of dollars that it cost. Anybody that gives me $250, and I will provide the hard drive, they can have all that and some other books that I've got access to that there are only a couple left in the world about our good old Congress. And it'll scare the Jesus out of you when you start reading what these guys are doing behind the scenes. So anyways, this party that I usually get stuff through, he tried a couple times and couldn't get in. His password wasn't working. So I tried the University of Alaska in Anchorage, UAA, and I put in a call to them, and they've always been real helpful. And so I just got that in this morning, and it's free because it's a public record. And I did a quick word search. I just got home now. I haven't had a chance to go through it, but I did a quick word search on something just called subsidy rule. And, gosh, there's all kinds of talking about it in this that I have never seen. I said, man, this is This is just amazing. I mean, it's just all throughout this. They're talking about it. And I saw a lot of stuff. I'm not familiar with at all. And I am very familiar with all this stuff. So this is like a Bible to the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. And this is going to be really important. Like I say, it's cited 71 times just in cases. It's cited all over in law reviews and some of the other case law that I have access, cases I have access to with Westlaw. And they are going into great detail about why they're doing it, how they're doing it, and all that. So this is going to be a gold mine. That I can tell you. And it's just, like I say, I don't know. See, what they do is, I went on the internet, it's not there. I says, well, isn't that interesting? There's usually most stuff of any value, somebody has posted it on the internet. And it's right there. And it wasn't in Westlaw. I said, now, isn't that strange? And in this particular document, I converted it to Word, it shows up 43 times. And I've only seen a couple of places ever that it showed that the administrative, that subsidy rule shows up, ever. So this is really going to be an interesting thing to put out, because the bottom line is, all these IRS agents can be sued, because when you can prove conclusively that they cannot win, all of these COVID people can be sued too. Because they're, and I'm going to go over that again today, because it's, for some reason people are having difficulty with this type of understanding. We have a constitutional republic that goes up through Amendment 12. That's the organic one. It's called the Constitution of the United States. Okay? The other part that starts at 13 and up, they clothe that under, they call United States Constitution. They're using noun as adjectives. I found that in a dictionary finally. Because I didn't understand. I mean, I can figure out, find somebody that's smarter than me on that, or especially, how do you know? It's called the compounding of nouns. And they use it to describe nouns as an adjective. That's the 13th Amendment's up. And that is under the plenary power of Congress. Congress can, like, if you read the bottom of the 13th Amendment or 14th, they call them articles. They don't even call them amendments. They also say that Congress can do legislation. Well, obviously, it can't be much of a darn amendment if Congress is in control of doing something when they get the urge. That's really super simple logic. Supposedly, they're supposed to be looking over the shoulder of the states to keep them in line, not being prejudicial. That went out the window right off. That was a get-go. That was all a setup. Because even the states now are legislating for citizens of the United States. Under the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, they printed, there are no elections for any public officers, no state officers in any of the states. There are no constitutional officers in any of the several states, because there's no elections for them. And they print it. Then Title 52, where they defined it's federal offices only. And it's strictly for citizens of the United States. And the Supreme Court says a citizen of the United States has no political rights. What are they doing voting in an election? Because we do know better. A straight citizen of the United States is an atheist. He has no God, has no inalienable rights. He only has civil rights, just like corporations. You and me, if we are born in this country, have a birthright. It's called the law of the land. And with it goes what's called due process of law. But you have to be a citizen of Texas, domiciled in Texas. And you know, that's it. Or you're born in this country, in one of the several states, by parents that are supposed that they're here legally. Illegal parents can't give it to you, by the way. That's another ruse. Or you can be naturalized. Takes 5 years. You have to swear off allegiance to any other country. So dual citizenship is not an option. Citizen of the United States of America is the status. Citizen of the United States of America, that's the country. Then you become domiciled in one of these several states and you become a citizen of Texas or a citizen of Kansas or whatever. And if you're there for a limited period of time by the legislature, then you have political rights that go along with it. Called the elective franchise, the right of suffrage. You get to determine who is going to be in your Republican form of government. A citizen of the United States has none of that. They have civil rights. They're the same as a corporation, a fiction in law, or a citizen of France. You can sue somebody in court. They're never taken away. You always have the right to sue. Well, why are they voting? 15th Amendment said every citizen of the United States got the right to vote. Then you go down and say, oh, by the way, all that means is they can't keep you out of the building, but who is entitled to cast a vote on the suffrage or the elective franchise? That's nothing to do with that. They don't tell us that, do they? Courts do, if you know where to look. This is the biggest con in the history of mankind that, unbelievably, they have overthrown our republic. It's a coup d'etat. The first phase of it, or first of many phases. And we support it. I used to bring up that citizen of the United States at what they call the Legislative Informational, LIO, meetings. There's people wanting to fight over it. I'm a citizen of the United States. I said, you know what the heck it is? Because I don't. That's how I got misdemeanor charges dismissed. I was doing that driver's license nonsense, trying to figure out how they stole our cars. They got around the jury and says, is everybody here a citizen of the United States or not a citizen of the United States? Yaza. When they got through, I said, I got some questions. I want to ask you, sir. You just swore that you're a citizen of the United States because I'm an old farm boy from Kansas. I don't know what that means. Do you? I have never gotten an answer. That's how I get used to get cases dismissed. Pretty soon the prosecutor says, you know, maybe we could settle this here. What do you know? There we go. Pay a little fine or something. I'll all go. They do it right in front of us in every federal court. They do it right in front of you in Alaska courts. Nobody's paying attention. This stuff is done with such sleight of hand. These guys, it's satanic. If you have no God, you're with Satan. That's what a citizen of the United States is that there's no God. Corporations don't have gods. Congress just makes them up out of thin air. They made up this type of citizen. There's more than one. See, that's what gets confusing to people. Just like United States, there's the real United States. Then the Congress creates a statutory United States. And they give it different meanings in different places. So how do you keep up with it? This is really confusing to somebody that's new to this type of thing. Because we think that a cat is a cat. If I see a cat, God dang, it's a cat. But what if I put a definition, a term in and said a dog or a cat means dog? When you use the word means, it means what? When you ever see the word C-A-T or one of those four-legged furry things, of which I got two of. Yeah, I'm actually talking about a dog, which is ludicrous. That's what they do.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Following the Frontline Doctors, American Frontline Doctors lawsuit down there in Alabama, by the attorneys, Beecraft and those, and they don't understand the Administrative Procedures Act or the Federal Register Act. In both acts, it mandates all documents of all federal agencies in the Federal Register Act, it says general applicability and legal effect. It says the same thing without using those words, in the Administrative Procedures Act, shall be published in the Federal Register. And if they're not there, we're done. They're invalid. Tell the agency to take a hike. It's not real complicated to read. Why then, agents, federal agencies by Congress, most of them are external to the Constitution. They don't have any authority to even exist in the constitutional frame of work. They don't. They got a whole laundry list of them in 44 U.S.C. 3502. They call them external regulatory agencies. Federal Reserve, SEC, FDA, FAA, all these. Postal Service. Congress must invite these foreign entities called federal agencies, and all kinds of other words that they put. Congress must invite them in. And if they invite them in with a general legislative power, that's unconstitutional. Because that would be Congress giving unlimited legislative power to a entity outside of our Constitution. So they say make all needful rules and regulations. That's nonsense. That means they're strictly limited to 5 U.S.C. 301, strictly limited. And 5 U.S.C. 301 are called housekeeping, interpreting, procedural, policy, everything internal, like if you're an employee working for a company. Company can tell what they want the employees to do, to not do this, shall do this, all this. That's fine. But it's got nothing to do with you or me. So why do we listen to federal agencies? There is a procedure. A procedure they must follow. And I can say shall follow because I could not believe it. I went into the Federal Register Committee and what they're doing in there. And they're trying to say that shall is maybe permissive and you must use must instead of that. Well, the Supreme Court says if shall is being used, they mean shall almost exclusively. So that's just another whole bunch of nonsense that's put out by the... I mean, this is the Federal Register Committee doing this. They don't talk about anything about subsidy regulations. They don't talk anything about Part 301, internal housekeeping. None of that. Doesn't exist. It's not on the IRS homepage. Why is that? The IRS publishes 706 CFRs that are identified by them as Part 301 under 5 U.S.C. 301. Housekeeping, internal policy, procedural, all kinds of nonsense, whatever. The thing that they do not do, they cannot make laws of the United States because that's up to Congress, even though they don't do it anymore either, but that's another story. But they can't do that. Prohibited, because that's called legislative power. So Congress gives them, invites them in and says, hey, would you like to make a regulation? Well, there is a procedure to making regulations that are called subsidy rule or subsidy regulations or subsidy rule or legislative rule. There is a procedure, just like laws of the United States or laws of Texas. You got to have the House vote on it and pass it. You got to have the Senate. You got to have the governor. Or you got to have the House and the Senate and the president. Or you override a veto. That's called procedure. Can't be bypassed. Oh, but the agencies aren't given special treatment. They have two types of procedure. The formal, which would be a proposed rule and a final rule. And they have to say we're doing the procedure according to 553B, making a substantive rule or a substantive regulation that would have the forced effect of law. You'll never see one of them. I've never seen one yet. None of them do that, ever, because they can't. Because they sit outside the Constitution. They don't have any legislative power to begin with. And if they go through all this nonsense, it's called force and effect of law, not called a law of the United States. this force and effect of law. That ought to be a wake-up call there. Why do I have to obey Congress laws of the United States or Texas, laws of Texas, and I have something else that's called force and effect of law? What's the difference? Duh?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Xtendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Xtendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Xtendivite may just be for you. Xtendivite is an all-natural supplement.
Well, we're back here. And this is going to be an interesting year. By the end of the year, we'll find out if we're going to be an Islamic communist country totally. I mean, Frank's Beach has got four high-ranking FBI people came out of retirement that already said the FBI, the DOJ, and the White House is under communist control. I don't doubt that at all. You don't have to look. Everything they're doing, it's right there. They're doing everything they can. They're in a mad dash to the end. And Mike Lindell is going to have his Supreme Court case filed before Thanksgiving. I'm going to be watching those two or three days. It's going to be talking about it. Why or how did we get this far with so many lies? There's a case. Let's see, this one here was filed in, this was coming after Trump trying to get after his stuff. This was filed in the District of Columbia. They love to go to the District of Columbia. Case number 1-19. Charlie Victor CV-1974. It's 1-19-CV-1974. A complaint. This was filed by the Committee on the Ways and Means, United States House of Representatives. Do you think they might have some clue to making laws of the United States? I would like to think so. Here's what they put. This is on page 2. In refusing to comply with the statute, defendants, which is the Treasury and the IRS and ad nauseum, technically it's not supposed to be able to sue the IRS, but these guys can do anything. Defendants have found, that's the House of Representatives, mounted an extraordinary attack on the authority of Congress to obtain information needed to conduct oversight of Treasury, the IRS, and, here we go, the tax laws on behalf of, was meant for the benefit of, on behalf of the American people who participate in the nation's voluntary tax system. Now, I would like to ask anybody with any sort of critical thinking, how in the holy heck can you have standing in a court on a voluntary system and say, I want information? I don't want to volunteer. Thank you. We're done. There's no law. They admit it. It's voluntary. This is the House of Representatives. And a complaint is taken as true. But nobody takes that on. You just sit and scratch your head. Is it people lacking logic? No, they're cowards or they're bought off. These lawyers are smart enough, a lot of them, to figure this out. They won't go there because they're compromised, there's money or something, I don't know, or they're just plain evil. Just can't make this stuff up anymore. But the thing is, if you're up against an enemy, you have to find out what you can use that is lethal to the enemy. And the only thing lethal to a federal agency or all these agencies is the Federal Register. Congress mandated in the Federal Register Act of 1935 and the APA, Administrative Procedures Act of 1946, codified in 5 U.S.C. 553B, C and D are the main ones. If you are a federal agency, and if you want to talk to the people of these United States, thou shall put your document, general applicability and legal effect, in the Federal Register, left out, but the same thing in the APA, you shall put it in the Federal Register. And it's judicially noticed. So if it's there, that is your, quote, law that you're bound to be stuck with, because it's a public record. It's got your name on it. It's evidence. Judicially noticed, because it's a public record. And everybody's got to pay attention to it. Why doesn't anybody bring that up? And they say if it's not there, it's baloney. Ignore it. They say it's invalid. No kidding. Can an agency out of communist China talk to us if they didn't put it in the Federal Register? No. If a communist agency hidden under something wants to talk to you and me, they have to put it in the Federal Register. There's no doubt they're behind some of this stuff. I mean, you'd be stupid if you can't figure that out. Why doesn't anybody see this? They print it. Why would I listen to a federal agency of which they hold no public office? They're not elected by anybody. They're not in the political part of our thing. There's no such thing as political rights or anything for anybody to do anything with a federal agency. So why would I listen to them? I don't know. Because we've been brought up that we think a federal agency, if they speak, we got to bow down and say, oh, can I shine your shoes? What would you like for me to do? We're conditioned to do this. Mark Twain, it's what we think we know, but ain't so this problem. And we, for whatever reason, are doing this. I looked into the COVID stuff, mandates. The first time I heard that, I said, you got to be kidding me. What is a mandate? Go look it up in Black's Law or anywhere. A mandate is something from a judgment issued strictly limited to the judicial branch of somebody having jurisdiction to a judgment. It is called a mandate. The other definition is for emperors to their subjects. Is that us? I don't think so. The mandate for the definitions of changing the vaccinations is a mandate from Congress, called a mandate. I found it. It's tracked down in the archives, just in a piece of paper that somebody signed. I don't know who signed it. I looked that part. But it's just, it comes from them, and it is not in the Federal Register, because I can search the Federal Register for those words. It ain't there. So the whole thing is a house of cards by changing the, quote, definition of vaccinations to allow this doesn't even exist. It's a con. Then I went into the American Frontline Doctors because I hadn't done any research, but I like to read other people's briefs. This is how I pick up stuff all the time. I don't pretend to know everything. It's an impossibility. Well, I always got my critical thinking ears open, and I went in there, and the American front, they got a lot of great research, you know, the Nuremberg Code, that said they can't do it, but that's not laws of the United States. We're supposed to be bound by it, but, you know, God, they don't do anything according to, but the thing is, you don't bring the right case up, you're not going anywhere. But I saw where they brought up Title 45, and then of the CFRs, Part 46, Protection of Human Subjects. My human subject? Are you a human subject? I said, this is going to be interesting. I want to see what they say. So I went into it, and the first one is, to what does this policy apply to? Who are human subjects that can be tested on? Isn't that a fair question to know? So I went and looked at it. 45 CFR, section 46.101. Now you can probably get it off of Cornell. 45 CFR 46.101. What does it say? I've never seen anything like this before, because the only thing, CFRs are not judicially noticed, even though some courts say they are, but you don't want to rely on the courts because that's just one court saying something. Congress said so. The Federal Register publications are judicially noticed. So I go to the bottom of that and look, where is it published in the Federal Register? That's what is judicially noticed. That is an irrevocably unassailable fact that the courts are bound by. It's a public record, and it's signed by those folks that did it. It's like a confession. You signed it. Did you sign that here? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I did. Is this what it says? Yes. We're done. This is like the DNA to a murder. If you can tie the murder weapon or that person's DNA to the murder weapon, the murder that happened on that person at that time, they're done. DNA is, can't argue it. It's you. This is the DNA evidence to use against federal agencies. So I went into the first one, and it has two FRs, 83 FR 2885, which I'm sure is available on the internet at the government homepage, 83 FR 2885. And the other one is 83 FR 28497. There's only two. Wow, I'm going to wait to get it open. The first thing I did was search on 553B. That is mandatory for the Administrative Procedures Act if you're ever going to get to something called force and effect of law. You got two, the formal, which would be like the House and the Senate and the President sign it. Nobody does that in the APA world. Now, I've never seen one yet because I can't. So I searched on it, and it shows up. Oh, wait, well, maybe they got... Maybe I've got to see something I've never seen before. Oh, no. Notice that proposed rulemaking is not required when an agency, for good cause. Good cause means there is an emergency. And thou shall state ye emergency. Period. That notice and public comment thereupon are impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. 5 U.S.C. 553, little b, number 3, capital B. And the good cause exists. We find that good cause exists. They don't say what it is because they can't. So it's smoke. They do the same thing on the effective date. It's supposed to be give us 30 days to, hey, Ralph, would you get all your friends lined up here because we're going to be tested on. Yay, yipper. They do the same thing for good cause. Well, a little bit farther down, I find something called legal authority, the legal authorities for the departments and agencies that are signatories to this action. Now, they got them all lined up, signatories way before this did. That's another whole story. But they got them all lined up, so when we got ready to pull the pin, they're all, yay, yay, in unison, holding hands. Come by eye. Come on down. 5 U.S.C. 301. I have never seen this listed in the Federal Register, in right out in the open. There are a few of them that were listed at the bottom under the word authority. A few, very few. IRS puts it in the part at the top. They will say 26 CFR, and then it'll say section 301. That's a 5 USC 301, period, and then they'll put the code section in like everybody's supposed to. I've never seen one like this. This is just blatant right in your face. They say their legal authority is 5 U.S.C. 301. That's called a housekeeping regula, interpretive reg, Chrysler v. Brown, a holding, 441, U.S. 281, 1979, a lot of other courts. That's the only holding. That's a holding, and it's never been challenged. Right out in front, the only authority for this whole nonsense that is conclusively proven that the COVID is no different than the flu. What is really dangerous is to put fear into people so that we can control the people's access, we can kill their small businesses, and the big businesses can stay open because they're special. They wouldn't have any problems. But the small businesses, they're just running rampant inside them small businesses. And we can get you to take our bioweapons of many flavors. Graphic oxide, microorganisms, AI in them, stuff that can kill you immediately, stuff that will make you sick, stuff that may take a year or two, stuff that kills your immune system, and so when you get the next flu or something, you die. This is the kind of stuff they did in the Gulf War Syndrome, of which I played a major part. I funded Joyce Riley. You've heard me talk about that before. She had the facts. I looked at it. I said, why is nobody helping you? I had money then. I put money. We paid her film, we UAA and all kinds of stuff. Get her going. She's the one that carried the ball. All I did was a small part to get her started. Helping hand up. That's all I did. But I checked the facts out. And they were unbelievable. And our own Senator Murkowski, Frank Murkowski, knew about this. His name was on the stuff. They knew what they were doing. They were testing on our American troops. Our military. And they didn't give them doxycycline like they should have, a very cheap antibiotic that works also on COVID-19. France walked away. It was the only country with no problem. I don't know why France, but they did. They left all their stuff behind. I figured out that one in every 100 people was probably affected on it, and you've heard me talk about this before. Joyce Riley got me to go over to the blood bank with a guy that is a certified infected, certifiedly infected with the Gulf War syndrome, and they said, you can give blood because we're not screening for that. It just boggles your mind what to say. So now we have all of this nonsense going on, mandating, and by the way, before I forget, you can sue anybody that's forcing you to take COVID-19. We're going to be suing an IRS agent.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, well, we're back here. Now, if I were going to go to a meeting and bring some of this up, I would get it summarized up. You know, I have been studying, and in this country, we are under the laws of the United States. The laws of the United States clearly state in the Federal Register Act of 1935 that all documents of a general applicability and legal effect, those are the words, general, shall be published in the Federal Register. And if so published, shall be judicially noticed, which means it's like DNA in a murder trial. If I got the DNA and the evidence to put you there, the knife and all that, it's over. It's evidence, and there's nothing else needs to be added. It's evidence. Irrefutable evidence. You can't do anything with it. It's evidence. And also, it says in the Administrative Procedures Act, every agency shall separately state and currently publish in the Federal Register. That's Section 3. And they talk about all the different types of things, including subsidy rules adopted as authorized by law, statements of general policy or interpretations formulated, and no manner, no person shall in any manner be required to resort to organization or procedure not so published. That's really clear. So the question, number one, are you a federal agency? Yes. Did you publish in the Federal Register? Yes or no? No, they didn't on the mandates. Did you publish in the Federal Register those two under who is the authority for human subjects under HHS, which the CDC sits embedded in underneath HHS? Is it there? Oh, yeah, it's there. It says only 5 U.S.C. 301 is the authority. Let me read that to you, huh? Have you ever read it? This would be some of the stuff, the way that I would attack these people. Because the laws of the United States are controlling in this country. There's no getting around it, right? And it says, if you are a federal agency, so the first thing I have to establish is the CDC, FDA, are they federal agencies? Yes, I got case law that says absolutely, positively, beyond a doubt. They're a federal agency. So that's you. You're that type of entity. You shall put it in the Federal Register. They say general applicability in the Federal Register Act, and they go into greater detail, all kinds of interpretive, subsidy regs, procedure. Everything y'all be doing, if you are that entity, shall be there, and if it's not there, we done. So the question, did you publish in the Federal Register about human subjects? Yes or no? Oh, you did. Well, by the way, I have got those two Federal Register publications, and you could do a synopsis of it and give them the numbers. That's right here. Legal authority, 5 U.S.C. 301. 5 U.S.C. 301. So does 5 U.S.C. 301 give you the authority over my body, over what I'm doing? I'll type this in. I'll just get it straight out of Westlaw. I can't find it on the other here real quick. 5 U.S.C. 301. What does it say? It's their stuff. It's right here. It says legal authority. It says it's got to be judicially noticed. And you list all these agencies out, including the Department of Education, DOD,
sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting.